what ends up happening is a lot of them make a lot of money really quick, and then they crash really quick. You know, it's while the boring company is kind of plodding along, they've set their trajectory, and they're just going to keep going up, 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 and up.
Welcome to 33 Tangents, a weekly podcast featuring a rotating panel of co-hosts that all work together in the same company, but live in different areas of the world. The discussions cover a wide variety of topics from digital analytics to working remotely to current happenings in business and technology. Our regular day-to-day conversations often go off in various directions, and the goal of this podcast is to share our ideas and find new ways to engage with others. All right, we're back in the studio again. What is going on?
Feels like Friday. It's not.
Yeah.
Although, this is my last meeting for the week.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah.
That's nice. I have a couple tomorrow, but I intentionally planned it that way. I try to do a no meeting Friday, but also I reserve that time. So, like, if it's a meeting where it's, say, more strategic or more like idea generation, then I'll use that time on Friday to do it. Like, meet with certain clients to, like, just plot out just general ideas or things like that. So I do have two of those tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what I got going. You were razzing me yesterday about the 70 degree temperature in Philly.
I wasn't razzing you. I was just pointing it out.
Yep, pointing it out, right? Yeah. So it's 50 today.
Open, it's nice.
It's 50 today. So the snow is slowly melting off.
Nice.
Hopefully, last one of the season.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, lousy smarch weather.
Smarch weather. That was crazy.
And I didn't even notice it when I posted that GIF. You're like, wait a minute, is it really the 13th? And I look, I'm like, holy shit, it really is the 13th.
And I didn't realize it when I was out taking the video. It just all came together.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was fun. So if anybody wants to know what we're talking about, it's an early season episode of The Simpsons. And it's actually one of the Treehouse of Horror episodes. Mm-hmm. It actually is a parody of Nightmare on Elm Street. And, you know, it starts off with them going into the school for a parent-teacher, like a PTA meeting about the misspelled calendar, and they misspelled March as smarch. So Homer's iconic line of lousy smarch weather.
And it was smarch 13th. Yes. He was covered in snow because of the lousy smarch weather. Everything just came together beautifully for that.
It did. So. And it's... Yeah, I love it when a plan comes together. Not that line doesn't quite fit, but I thought I'd at least throw in another.
It works.
80s
it works.
Reference.
It works. The 80s, man.
Yeah, miss the 80s. So, I guess you don't have Bluey on in your house, do you?
No, we got Blippi on in the house, and I'm like, I just can't. But so no,
I can't with Blippi. But Bluey, it's an Australian cartoon, and in many ways it's a parents' TV show that kids enjoy because there are so many good things within it. But there's a great episode where it's a flashback episode for the dad. The dad's telling the story, and it's a flashback to the 80s.
Mm.
And it's like the 80s, it was a different time. And he's telling the story, and he's riding his bike, and, you know, the girls stop him. I'm like, wait, you don't have a bike helmet on? He goes, I told you it was the 80s. You know, there was this in the 80s, and it's like, the 80s, man.
The 80s, man.
And even my five-year-old, every now and then goes, it was the 80s, man. Doesn't completely understand what he's saying, but still says it.
It's a good line. It's a good line. Works in so many different ways. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't have a segue into our topic for today. So I'm just gonna go for it and dig in. So want to start a new theme of episodes this week. And today's topic, I want to talk about What does it mean to be boring yet profitable? So I've been hearing this repeated for a while now. You know, people talk about the concept of these businesses that are boring yet profitable. Let me just ask you, like, when I say that, when I talk about, when I mention like a business is, that is boring yet profitable, is there anything that immediately comes to mind?
Yeah, but I'm scared to talk about it because I don't want to get in trouble. So, but I'm trying to determine if I should give the specific example or if I should just give the concept of why it's boring and profitable and is going to be boring and profitable for probably another 100 years.
Just give the concept.
Okay. So there is a company. It's located in this beat up shed down in the industrial side of town that sells fasteners. And it's boring. I don't know a lot of people that get excited about bolts and wing nuts and fastening two things together. There's no like flashy marketing. I'm sure they don't even have a Facebook page or a social media presence, but they're supplying something that is critical and needed as part of an overall process of doing things. And they're kind of playing their role in that part. And we don't think of it as flashy. We don't think of it as something that's highly entertaining, but without these critical pieces, and we've seen with what the Boeing thing, if you don't put the bolts on it, the door's going to fall off.
The door falls, like, off at 30,000 feet. These are
important pieces of like everything we do in everyday life. And so they're highly profitable. They're boring. They've been that way for, I don't know how long it's been there, but I'm sure they're going to be there for a lot longer. And I think there's lots of examples of businesses like that, where it's like, look, we do this one thing and we do it really well. And it's a thing that is a critical input into so many things that we do and that we value. And in those senses, I think we could probably all think of businesses that are pretty boring. It's like, really, you go in and you sell like fasteners all day long, you know, yet it's needed and it's incredibly profitable business to be in.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about this because we are going to bring this back around to digital analytics and running an analytics program and an optimization program. But I wanted to talk about this because the concept of a boring yet profitable business, like a lot of times, not all the time, I won't say all the time, but a lot of the times I see it used as a derogatory term. Oh, you're not doing this, to your point, like, oh, you don't have a Facebook page, or, oh, you don't have this, or you don't have that, or what do you mean your website hasn't been refreshed in the last 18 months? But to your point, they offer products that are indispensable to their customers. Like, mm-hmm. That is one of the key characteristics here, is these are products that are integral to their customers' lives, and they're products that maybe people they themselves are not flashy, but the customers know they need them and they know they can rely on them.
Yeah.
That's the second factor, is the products these companies produce, they're reliable, they're built in such a way that the business itself is sustainable, and the product is reliable. And then when I started researching this and started to think of examples of this, the third component often is that these companies have great customer service. Mm-hmm. Again, they may not have the flashiest of websites.
Yep.
They may not have a ChatGPT powered chatbot on their website, but if you give them a call or you submit the form that is on their very basic website, you're going to hear back from them. And they are going to make you happy. And I think those are the three core things that make these businesses great at what they do. And that's ultimately what it is they supply a product. They don't try to do everything. They don't try to be everything to everybody. This is our core business. We do it. We do it well. And you're going to be happy working with us.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that last point, because I think that's a critical addition to the trio of things that make for these types of businesses and makes them so successful. It reminds me of my grandpa in his retirement years was a gardener. He bought in his neighborhood an empty lot and put a garden on it. and so like you have this lot in the middle of a city block, and he built a garden on it. And I would go with him to work on the garden all the time. And he was, you know, into irrigation and making sure everything was working right. And there was a little sprinkler supply store in town that is not your, you know, not your Home Depot, not your Lowe's, not your even like Rainbird or like, you know, fancy store you would see with a nice storefront and everything's clean. The place was dark and dingy and had cardboard boxes on all the different aisles with different parts in it. But you walk in there and they had high quality products that were needed that you could rely on and trust. And they were the most helpful. You could go in there with the most bizarre challenge and we're like, okay, and then let's pull out a, you know, piece of graph paper and a pencil and sketch out how this thing could work and what parts you need to build this little irrigation system for. Like, not getting paid, but you know, they're truly passionate about like this craft. And kind of going back to this boring component, it's kind of this dichotomy, because we think it's boring, but to them it's super, super exciting. In fact, I have this friend that is like into containers, primarily for shipping, like shipping boxes. And I'm like, dude, it's...
Are you talking about like the massive shipping containers or...
No. Like I would send you a package shipping boxes.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, dude, that's so boring. But he's like so geeked passionate about it, right? Like he's so into it. And so like we think that this boring, you know, if this fastener company, it's like, really? But I'm sure it's not just filling a need. They're incredibly passionate about, you know, fasteners, and this other place is incredibly passionate about sprinkler supplies. And that's why I think these things are so profitable and so sustainable, is they're taking something that's a critical need and they're passionate about it where most people aren't. And that kind of combines to creating really great experiences, creating reliability, creating quality in your product and your results and a great service. And man, it's hard to make those companies go out of business. It really is. They just have incredible staying power.
Yeah. And I like how you wrap that up with the term experience, because like all three of the components that we've talked about, a product that is integral to the customer and reliable, and the customer experience, a positive customer experience, like say knowledgeable staff and everything, like that is, I mean, that is everything right there. Because, and that's one of the things I think in just in general that we've really lost when it comes to retail stores, is that like, God, in high school, I miss from the days of high school, like going to the record store, mm-hmm. and looking to see the latest CDs have come out, like flipping through and, you know, seeing if there's anything good or new, like just even like electronics. Cause these days, if you know, you go to the store and it's like, hey, I'm looking for this. I don't know, man. I'm just covering here for Sean. He's out. I typically work over in the movie section.
It's funny you bring that up. I got into a little back and forth the other day on LinkedIn with a lady who is a publishing consultant for independent authors. And we got into it, and basically she was, in some nice words, telling me I was stupid for publishing a physical book, because most publishers and authors nowadays knows that the real money is in publishing for digital distribution. The margins are higher. It's a lot easier. You get huge distribution through the Kindle store. You know, you're, and I'm like, yeah, but I wanted to create an experience. Like, I had all these, like, romantic dreams in my mind of someone walking into the independent bookstore in some city and saying, my kid really loves Data, and the bookstore owner saying, oh, well, then I got the perfect book for you, and pulling it off the shelf and handing it to them and letting them feel it. And you kind of lose that passion in a lot of cases. So yeah, I mean, for me, it was about like that experience, you know? Yeah.
And you actually bring up a great segue to the next question I have about this. You know, we've started off talking about, like, when you hear that term, what are some things that come to mind, and what can get a company to that status? You know, a product that's integral, a product that's reliable, and a focus on customer service. So if we flip that around, like, what can prevent a business from reaching this status? Because again, like, another way of thinking of, again, and I will say, a lot of the cases I hear when they talk about a business that, you know, it's boring yet profitable, it's a pejorative. It's that you're not doing the coolest thing. You're not chasing the most relevant thing necessarily, or at least the relevant thing in other people's eyes. You bring up a good point there of kind of like chasing distribution through the Kindle store or something like that. When I ask myself, like, what can prevent a business from reaching this point where they're profitable, they're sustainable, and they're integral to certain customers, is they don't chase the current fad. They don't drop everything and like, this is the fad for today. We need to chase it. We need to chase after this. We need to chase after that. They focus on the experience and building raving fans.
Oh man, I think you answered the question, your own question. I think that's it, is that it's having some sort of vision of your art, of your craft, of what it is that you want to do. And regardless of the noise going on around you, you stay true to that craft. And that isn't to say that you don't adopt new methods or ways of doing things. You know, while I would love for everyone to be, is it called the New Yankee Workshop? The guy on PBS that does all the woodworking without any electric tools. I mean, it's just not feasible to scale something like that. But there's a difference between using modern tools and completely going with an approach of everything's going to come off an assembly line and we don't care about the quality or the experience of this desk or this chair that we're making. And I think that that's true of any business. They have a vision. They have unwavering acceptance of their art and their craft and what they want to do, and they don't allow external forces to change that. Things happening around them could complement that, but don't change their vision. And I'll just give you a good visual for this, and I'm sure everyone has examples of this in their social media feeds. I have many examples of this in my LinkedIn feed. How many companies right now that are AI companies? Yesterday, they were crypto companies. And before that, they were blockchain companies. And before that, they were real estate companies. And before that, they were .com. Right? Like,
right.
They're just chasing the new thing. It's like, what does that mean you're an AI company not right now? Like, literally yesterday, you were talking about how you were a crypto company. And it's that they have no sense of concept for what their art is or what their craft is and what they're trying to do. And it's one thing to be, you know, on the blockchain. It's another thing to incorporate AI into what you're doing. But if you don't know what you're doing, then how do you do that? And it becomes really easy to be kind of this person that jumps from fad to fad. What ends up happening is a lot of them make a lot of money really quick and then they crash really quick. You know, it's... While the boring company is kind of plodding along, they've set their trajectory and they're just going to keep going up, 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 and up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is like the like Zen idea came to mind, where it's like these companies are chasing the current trend, looking to make a buck, but they don't turn out to be profitable. They may make a buck, but they're not profitable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that's, really, really difficult to sustain because something else is going to come along next. And you're going to now have to like, well, God, we put all this work into becoming an AI company. Now we have to pivot to be whatever the new thing is. It's incredibly draining and difficult. I see how it can be compelling because so many people do it. Again, just go do a search on LinkedIn and see how many people have like AI now in their title or in their, you know, summary. And we see this happen even on a more micro level in the analytics space. You know, when new things come out, it's like all of a sudden, like, this is what we're about. And it's just a really, really difficult model to sustain, especially when you're dealing in small marketplaces. People start to catch on. It's like, wait a minute. Like, weren't you just this last week? Weren't you just... Maybe I dropped this, like, example on a previous episode, but there's a guy I follow that... before the last, like, we're like Bitcoin is in a huge upward trend right now, but there was a massive crash previously of Bitcoin values. But before that crash, it was going up and up, and he positioned himself as a Bitcoin strategist for, like, you know, mom and pops, like no one that knows anything about investing. He spun up a website and I'm a Bitcoin advisor and blah 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 blah, and that he made it about his entire presence. And then Bitcoin crashed, he deleted his site, scrubbed his LinkedIn profile of anything about Bitcoin, and then he was a coach, a lifestyle coach, or some kind of coach. I'll give you a guess of what he is now.
He's an AI advisor.
Yeah, and he helps people that are trying to become better at what they do, write prompts to get AI to help them maximize their personal growth initiatives.
Yeah. Whatever. And I think you're right. Like, people start to pick up on that when they're looking for, you know, and I guess, like, if we even go back to add something we were talking about earlier, not just the product being reliable, but the company being reliable. Like, If I start buying this from you today, are you going to be selling it tomorrow? Because, like, okay, so say there's a television series, and if you already know that, like, people are complaining about the ending, do you even want to start it?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you don't even want to go back to start it. Or, like, if there's a TV show, like, it's a series that people talk about, and then all of a sudden it gets canceled. Like, it doesn't end. They just cancel it. For me personally, I don't want to watch it because I know there's no ending. Like, it just, does that make sense?
It does. And I'm trying to think, I don't know if it was Seinfeld or Family Guy, but there's an episode where someone starts talking about a movie or something. I think it was Seinfeld. I think it was it George's dad? I don't know. I'm gonna have to go find it after this. But like, they start talking about some movie or something, and he's like, "Stop! Sorry, I haven't seen it yet." And they're like, "This literally has nothing to do with the show. It's like this site. Still, I want to go in fresh.
Yeah. But like, I just know, like, there's things where, like, when a show is canceled, I don't even, if I hadn't seen it before, I don't want to start it because I know I'm not going to get the payoff at the end. Yeah. I know it, and it's not the perfect analogy, but I think it's the same thing. Like, there have been companies where, like, I buy a product, I really like it, and then all of a sudden they get bought and the product changes. And it's like, no, I don't even want to deal with you now because it's not the same product anymore.
Not to make this about our business, but maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but that conversation comes up on so many calls I have with prospects. And they'll say something like, can you talk about, like, your timeline and what you do and how that's changed? And, like, I know what they're getting at, and I'll kind of play aloof. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, and then they'll open up like, well, you know, our last analytics agency, they used to be an SEO shop. And before they were an SEO shop, they were this shop. And it's like, it felt like they just kept changing to the next thing that they felt was going to be the next big thing. And we just want someone that's, like, passionate about doing analytics and is just going to do analytics. I'm like, you found them, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I have one more question to start wrapping us up. And you may have touched on this a bit a few moments ago, but when we talk about this this particular concept. And I want to say, like, when we talk about profitable, like, we don't talk about, or I'm not referring to businesses that, like, you know, the ones that rape, pillage their customers, their employees, it's profit at all cost. I'm talking about the ones that are sustainable. They make enough money to remain in business. Everybody is gainfully employed. Everybody is making money with it. But it's not the, like, let's rape, pillage, and take advantage of everybody to make money at all costs.
Well, and
I want to clarify that. That's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really, really important point, because they're actually two completely separate things. The companies that get all the press of being highly profitable are not sustainable, because their view of profitability is literally using up every resource that's available to them until it's the Lorax, right? Like, it's the story of the Lorax, and it's like, we're going to take all the truffula trees until they're gone, and then we'll go and do something else. We're talking about profitability from companies that understand that they have an obligation to maintain a renewable ecosystem profitable. And it's two completely different mindsets.
Yeah. So when we're talking about these businesses, like, is it something that people running a business actively think about? Like, from your perspective, are you actively thinking about, I want to be a boring yet profitable business? I would like people to see us as something like that. Or what thought goes into these businesses to reach that point?
I mean, I do, but I don't think a lot do. And I think what I have learned over the last decade or so is that the primary differentiator is having a purpose other than profit. That companies go into it with a true purpose, and almost like, again, I keep referring to it as an art. Those companies tend to become incredibly profitable, sustainable, you know, and again, boring is a tough word to describe it, because, you know, boring wouldn't describe a Patagonia, but from a trajectory and growth, and it's a fairly boring compared to, like, these companies. Like, I created a survey tool that's now worth $50 billion. It's like, you know, it's just in a different type of conversation. I think the companies that never get to that state and tend to kind of fall to the wayside, their purpose is profits. And when I mean fall to the wayside, meaning that their company either goes out of business or they're acquired by a company that is going to make their purpose about maximizing profitability. As a private owner, it's really hard to sustain the model if your purpose is profit. You either have to sell out to someone that knows how to maximize that, or your company is simply not going to sustain and it's going to go out of business. You may make a few coin in the short term, but it's not a sustainable model. So yeah, for me, yeah, I think about it all the time, but it's just a byproduct of never thinking about profit and revenue as the purpose. And again, I want to be careful in how we say that. Not that those aren't measures that I look at and that I'm very careful in how we plan for, but it's not why I do what I do. It's not why we do what we do. It's as Simon Sinek says, it's a result of why we do what we do.
But yeah, it's that mindset of, if I do everything right, the money will follow. It's not about chasing the money. And I think that that's ultimately what it comes down to for this. And like I said, in the next couple of episodes, we're going to bring this topic back around to analytics. So for, like, those that are listening that are like, okay, so how do I apply this to my analytics program or my optimization program? Keep listening. This week was was to set the table.
Yes.
No, it was, because, like, there's
foreshadowing.
Yes. Like, there's certain concepts in here about being integral to customers, being reliable, and being focused on the core business and not just chasing the latest fad. And again, yeah, I keep repeating the word boring, because you're right. Like, it's a loaded term, but, like, you look at those companies, and yeah, it's great. You even bring up Patagonia. Patagonia is a well-known international brand, but yeah, are they doing the flashiest of things? No, Like, or are they chasing the current fads? No, they are chasing their core customers that are looking for certain products from them, and they're not trying to be everything to everyone.
Yep.
And if anything, sometimes they even turn around and say, if, you know, if this is what you're looking for, we're not the company for you.
And again, they have been incredibly profitable, but at their very core, they have a belief that we can't be profitable if we're destroying the ecosystem that we're working in. So they found a way of cracking this problem of we can be profitable, we can be boring from a concept of we're not doing what all of these other public companies are doing, and we can do it in a way that doesn't destroy the ecosystem to the point that we can no longer do this thing that we do. I think it's an incredible example.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there for this week. We're going to continue this theme next week. And like I said, I promise we will get to the specifics around our industry and how I think this topic applies to that. But yeah, great conversation. And it was actually a really fun way to kick this off.
Yeah,
again, this was one of those ones where I wasn't sure where we were going to take it, but we just dove right in and turned out to be a really good conversation.
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. All right, then. So we'll wrap it up there, and we'll talk to everyone later.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of 33 Tangents. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast aggregator so others can find us. If you would like to reach us, you can do so by emailing podcast@33sticks.com or on the web at 33tangents.33sticks.com. 33 Tangents is a production of 33 Sticks, an analytics boutique.